And the good news is I actually finished grading all of the mechinas. Pretty impressive. The band is nice. I got to bring them in today. So hopefully I get a chance to write down everyone's grades in the paper somewhere. I don't know where exactly. But hopefully Michelle Tobin will be brought in. Okay. Without a flight and with very limited weddings. Now we're going to begin really the major sugya in terms of Simchas Avichas, and that is the basic question about Tam Kikra, basic Tam. We've thrown around these terms already for the last 3 months. Now we have to try to analyze this on Rishonim before we even get to find out what's happening in the seminar today, just in terms of the Gemara and Rishonim to get the very basic shittas as to what's going on in terms of Tam Kikra. So again, the basic din of Tam Kikra really appears in the Mishnah. The case the Mishnah talks about happens to be a case that's not Lamaisa. The Mishnah talks about it concerning a Gidanosha. And Gidanosha, we pass an eight big Gidanosha down to the Gidanosha, falls into a pot of potatoes. Since there's nothing to be concerned with, you have to take out the Gid, and you don't have to be concerned with the time of the Gidanosha. Even though we don't pass into the Mishnah, but the principle of the Mishnah, of course, we do pass it like that. There is a principle in Allah called Bezin Tam or Tam Kikra. The question that's unclear is that this Din of Tam Kikra by Chaz, by Nevel, by Chaz, by Olis, by Torah, is this really a Din of Torah, or is this only a Din of the Rabbanah? So the Gemara quotes a series of psukim for it, and it's unclear what the Maskenah of Gemara is. So the three basic psukim that the Gemara throws around in different places, one is the pasuk by Nazir, the pasuk says, V'chomish ha-zanovim, lo-yechel, v'ishtar, let's say, always forget. And the Bakur is here, lo-yechel, lo-yishtar, lo-yishtar. Lo-yishtar. V'chomish ha-zanovim, lo-yishtar, ha-anovim, lo-yechel, v'yishtar, lo-yechel. Excellent. So what the Torah says that the Nazir is not only is he not allowed to drink wine, he's not allowed to eat grapes, but he's not allowed to drink mishras anovim. What does mishras anovim mean? So the Gemara says what that means is a tam of wine. So the Gemara says, the Nazir takes a piece of bread and he sticks the bread into the wine, and now there's not too much real wine there, but there's not a tam of wine there. So the Gemara says from here you see from the fact that the Torah speaks about mishras anovim, so you see from here there's a principle of tam to ikra. So the Gemara throws that out in the Sechas Pesach and the Nizar and other places as a possibility. Maybe this is the source of Tam Kikra. The question is, of course, is possible it's only written by Nazir. Maybe you don't have the right to extrapolate to other dinim of the Torah. That's one possible mafla. Then the Gemara throws out another possible mafla is Tosaf L'Cholav, that as we mentioned the other day. And all Tosaf L'Cholav is Tam Kikra, because you never really see the Cholav after when you're reading the piece of meat. So the Gemara says, no, well, maybe Tosaf L'Cholav is not such a great mafla. Maybe it's a special dinim of Tosaf L'Cholav. Tosaf L'Cholav is a Chiddush, but you can't extrapolate. So that possibly fell also. Then you have a third possibility. The Gemara speaks about Gilad Nijad. So the Torah says that you have to kash a kalim. What do you have to kash a kalim for? Every kli is there's no be'ed there. You can't see the nevela when you're cooking food in a pot that you cook the nevela in at one time. So the Gemara says no. Maybe that's also the possible mark of a tam kikra. The Gemara is doicha that as well. Maybe it's different. Maybe kash a kalim is a chiddush. The other reason, so it's unclear, at the end of the day, the Gemara does throw around these three different sukkim, so it's unclear what the Maskenas HaGemara is. This is the din of Bezin Tam. Is Bezin Tam Kikra really a din min HaTorah? Maybe the whole thing is only in Asmach, maybe the whole thing is only a din min HaRabbanan. So there is one Gemara in the second Shabbat of Zohar that all the Rishonim deal with, and five or so different pshat in the Rishonim as to how to understand this Gemara, and everything about whether Tam Kikra is deraisa or derabanan is ultimately going to revolve around reading this Gemara. So one of the Zohar talks about two different cases. The Gemara talks about two different types of Taraitis. One is Taima Umamashal, and one is Taima Veloma Mashal. So the simple reading of the Gemara of Taima Veloma Mashal is that is a synonym for what we call Daisin Ham. We call Tam Kikra. So what is the Gemara of the Zohar in the last Gemara? What does it say about Taima Veloma Mashal? The Gemara says, "Amar Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yehuda said, 'Kol she time of lama mashal, ain like in alav.' The one is not chayav malchus for time of lama mashal." So, if we are correct in that in our analysis that that is a synonym for nice time, so when Rabbi Yochanan is telling us open and shut that at least Rabbi Yochanan's maskana was that kol she time of lama mashal ain like in alav, so malchus is usually facing the raisa. Lack of malchus is usually indicative that we're dealing with a din derabanan. So Rabbi Yochanan is passing up the shadow. Rabbi Yochanan is telling us that calls for time, love, and mashal, and love, i.e., because the whole bit of time, tikkun, the whole bit of nice and time, achol, because kol was only a bit of a drabbanon. So that's one simple way of reading the Gemara. So this is Rashi sheet. It's a little Rashi in, Rashi appears in a few places. Rashi tells us that time, tikkun, at the end of the day, is only a drabbanon. The whole bit of time is only a drabbanon, achol, and kol. I have all these psukim, bas becholov, and nazir, and gilei midyan. So Rashi goes through, looks, just points out all the psukim that says, well, you could chip away these sort of psukim. So you finish chipping away all the psukim, left with nothing. So in the Chanami, so that Mishnah in the seventh parable of Chulin that speaks about Harezer ben Eisen Tam, all these dinner, the Sinas Tam, everything we've been talking about up until now, so at least out of the realm of bas becholov, and out of the realm of nazir, and out of the realm of gilei nechri. Bottom line is that Tam Kikur is on the mid derabbanan. So that's a Rashi, Rashi paskin to halacha. So other Rishonim weren't so quick to throw away all the Gemaras and Shas, all the Pesukim, because that one Gemara is Maseches Avodah Zarah. This is a general question about how to style of learning. Very often you have, you know, what appear to be contradictory Makoros, and sometimes you have five Gemaras that chat one way and one Gemara that sounds another way. So the question is, what do you try to turn around? So usually, one would think Ram Matas, you usually think that it's easier to chip away one Gemara than to chip away five Gemaras. So sometimes that's not the case. Sometimes that one Gemara is convincing, that one Gemara is really the famous. That's a Rashi, that one Gemara of Hadazar carries the day. When the Gemara says that time will be Moshe and Lokan of Rashi, that's the only Gemara that really counts. And all the other Gemaras, all the other Makaris, everything else, Rashi is going to whitewash all of them and say, that's the Rabbanah, that's the Rabbanah, that's the Rabbanah, nothing really matters. The only Gemara that matters is the Gemara of Hadazar. So Rabbi Tam didn't think that way. Rabbi Tam thought that the Pashtas and the Sugyas in Chulin, in the Pashas, in the Sugis, in Avodah Zarah, in Pesach, in Nazir, where the four places in Shas, the Tam Kikur keeps them coming up, and the Gemara keeps them thrown around the same Sukkim. So the Tam finds it very difficult to believe that everything is only with the Rabbanan. So the Pashas, it says, Rabbanan, all the Gemaras are, the Tam Kikur is really their ice. So the problem is, if Tam Kikur is their ice, so what do you do with that Gemara in Avodah Zarah? The Gemara says that Kol Shutaymo, Chulam HaMashal, Ein Lom Kilalam. So Ben Atam pulled an amazing stunt out of this one, and Ben Atam says, no, to that Gemara that says, Pamela Paloma Mashal, so we started out with a premise, and the premise was mistaken. We thought that Pamela Paloma Mashal is synonymous with Tam Ki, it was synonymous with Arayz of the Naisen Tam. So Ben Atam says, nothing doing, it's not synonymous at all. So we all know, we don't know yet, we can hopefully find out as we learn from the Simon Tani Ches, but there are fundamentally two different types of Tarobus in Halacha. There's a Tarobus in Domino, and the Tarobus in Mishaino Mino. So usually one thinks that the terms that are seen as Tam only make sense when you're talking about Tarobus in Mishaino Mino, just for obvious reasons. If Chazer falls into potato soup, so then you can discuss, is it Naisin Tam or not? Can you discern the taste of the Chazer? When you have a Tarobus in Domino, so what do you mean? How many is it Naisin Tam? If you have a little bit of Campbell's or chicken soup falls into traditional chicken soup, chicken soup, not real chicken soup, right? Okay, I buy chicken soup. We have Nid Benito, Trey for chicken soup, and the ghost of chicken soup. So, could anybody use the phrase, Areza Benais and Tam? That would be a joke. Areza Benais and Tam. What do you mean you get to taste the difference? It means it's all chicken soup, it's all Nid Benito, it all tastes the same way. So, of course, there's nothing to talk about. Of course, the principle of Nais and Tam doesn't make any sense by Nid Benito. That's in fact why the Allah is that the Shirm of Bittah from Nid Benito are different. At the end of the day, Allah Lamaise, it happens to be the same, to protect the reasons of the Rabbanon, that the Chadim insist on a higher Shia from Mindamina, but we pass in Ikra Din, that Minatora Mindamina is Barov, because every religion should be Barov, the Haram, the Hafiz, everything should be Bok Barov. The only thing is that by Mindamina, you have to reckon with the Nasina's Tom. So by Mindamina, there's no Nasina's Tom, so there's nothing to talk about. So it comes to Ben Atam and commits what we would have thought would be the cardinal error. When Ben Atam says, when the Gemara Ben Azar says, that time of Lama Moshal is a Mokan Alav, so we thought, we saw the word Tam, so we plugged into our computer. Tam, that means Mingash Ein Amigas. So Ben Atam says, no, you're wrong. That means Dindavino. Right, so why does the Gemara call it Kosha Taimo? So Ben Atam says, what that means is that Lu Yitzli, that it would have been a Tarevis of Mingash Ein Amigas, but it would have been enough to be Nelson Tam. There, but it happens not to be a tarot. It would have been a raise of an Eisei town. So when the Talmud is learning Pshat in this Gemara, then that's what the Gemara means. But it's really honest that goodness talking about a Tarovus of Din Benino. You can already see from the Talmud's Pshat, or will the other Rishonim found that very, very difficult, very difficult. The term a raise of an Eisei town really doesn't sound like Din Benino. But not only is the Talmud's Pshat difficult in terms of the Lashon of Gemara, that time of Lama Masho is i.e. Nidavino. So then you have that the Lashon is a little bit different, but at least the din is true. At least the din is that when you have a tarobus of Nidavino, so it's taka ain't open alone, because the din is that Nidavino is not the barot. So at least the din is not there for Lashon. Okay, the lingo of Chazal is not so great, but the din is true. But then the time is followed with another kasha that the Gemara has in the first half, Kol Shet time of Vimma Masho. Loken alone. The Gemara speaks about Taima Uma Masho. So what does that mean? It means you have some kind of a Tyrovus. According to Rabbeinu Tam, how could you have any Malchus whatsoever by a Tyrovus in the Nimbamino? If Nimbamino is both a Barovim and a Torah, so then the words don't make sense. What do you mean, Kol Shet Taima Uma Masho Loken alone? If according to Rabbeinu Tam, the first half is talking about, the second half is talking about Nimbamino, the first step is also talking about Nimbamino. So Nimbamino is a chok of Barov. So what's the Gemara talking about? So says the Minatam, no, it means there's no Tarovus. There's no Tarovus. It means there is a Tarovus. It's just Nikra Issa. So if it's the end, if it's a Nikra Issa, I'll begin. It's like there's no Tarovus. So the Minatam took this Gemara in a bazaar that we thought was talking about Nimbamino and said, no, it's not going to talk about Nimbamino. It's really talking about Nimbamino. And then Rabbeinu Tam took the first half of the Gemara and says, we thought it was talking about a normal tarovus, which usually by definition means lo nikra issa. No, it doesn't mean that either. It really means nikra issa. So according to Rabbeinu Tam, the two dinim, the comparing and contrasting that Rabbi Yochanan is doing, Rabbi Yochanan is contrasting a case when Yechai Malchus to a case when Yenachai Malchus. So what's Rabbi Yochanan really telling us? He's really telling us is that when it's nikra issa, there's no tarovus. That's in the Sederaisa. When it's lo nikra issa, then there is a tarovus. And there's no Sederaisa. That's what Rabbi Yochanan is telling us. According to all the other Rishonim, that's not at all what Rabbi Yochanan is telling us. Rabbi Yochanan is talking about a nimbish ein amino. He's not talking about no e nikra issa. He's not talking about little barov. He's making some kind of a monumental statement about the issue of time ki ikas. And then a time in a very unique way of reading this Gemara Maseches of Hadassah. I'm putting aside, we're not learning about the Zohar right now, but the details of how it fits into the Gemara are somewhat difficult with Rabbi Rabbeinu Tam. But what prompted Rabbeinu Tam to come to his conclusion is because Rabbeinu Tam was so convinced that all the other Gemaras and Shas, all the other Psukim, that Tam Kikur is their right, so that he didn't want to machavek all the other Stam Gemaras, so he did a little bit of a patchwork on his Gemara and Rabbeinu Tam. Whereas Rashi said that all the other Gemaras are Lafdaf, everything's in Esnachba, that Minat Torah, the din is like Rabbi Yochanan says, that ain't Loken Olam. So these are the two extreme shittas in the Rishonim, but that is Tam Kikur their right, and Tam Kikur their Rabbanim. According to Rashi, Tam Kikur is always Midar Rabbanim. According to Rabbeinu Tam, Tam Kikur is always Midar Raisa. Then you have other opinions in the Rishonim who agree to Rabbeinu Tam in theory, in the sense of that they also are working with the idea that Tam Kikur is their Raisa. They don't want to just throw away all these Gemaras and Shas. They do want to work with the Mahalach that Tam Kikur is their Raisa, but they have this Gemara of a Nazar staring them in the face. That culture time the Lama Mashu ain't Lokin Allah. So how could it be? How could somebody be awesome in our Torah and still be in Lokin Allah? And they didn't think that Rabbeinu Tam's plot was right to revamp that Gemara and say it's talking about Nimbamino. So how can you have your cake and eat it? How can you have Tam Kikur being in Yisim Daraiza, whereas at the same time turn around and saying that, how can at the same time you say that Tam Kikur is in Yisim Daraiza? On the other hand, say that ain't local to love. Doesn't every Yisra Daraisa mean Malchus? So came a group of Rishonim and said, no, that's not a true premise. I mean, we worked with so many premises. We read this Gemara in Avodah Zarah that says that ain't local to love. So we thought, we have two premises. We thought the Gemara was talking about Nesinus Ta'am, about Nimbish Ein Amino. So then it talks about that premise is wrong. So then our other premise was that, well, ain't local to love, that means it's only in Yisra Darabon. So came another group of Rishonim and said, that premise is wrong. Everything that's also in a Torah is automatically Chayav Malchus. The has Klolim and the Yadimah Sarah's Malchus. You only Chayav Malchus for a lav, and it's a lav shayish for mice, and lav and it's a glass, and there are all whole series of conditions that have to be met before one is Chayav Malchus. So maybe it could be that Tam Kikur is Daraisa, but for some reason it falls short, and for some reason it doesn't warrant giving Malchus to the person. The question is why? like if it's deraisa, so shouldn't it get malchus? Well, what's missing? What condition is missing? So the other was the machlokes that we showed him within this tzav. This is really this is the third and fourth pshat in the Gemara of Avodah Zarah. Rashi was the first, the Ben Adam was the second, and now you have three and four, which are similar, that they're both going with the same mahalach, that the Gemara of Avodah Zarah is in this deraisa, just that there's no chayim malchus, but a different twist as to why there's no chayim malchus, no chayim malchus. So Tosfos quotes from the name of the Rimei Olin, that the Rimei Olin said as follows, that the basic question we have to ask yourself is, let's say a person violates the Zinatam Chi. The person goes out and eats the potato soup that tastes a little bit like chaser. So the question is, did he violate a law or did he violate some other kind of an iser? So says the Rimei Olin, he thinks it depends. Depends on what's the mokka for Tamkika. Where does it come from in the Torah? So we're going to leave that Balsa Bechola, because the Gemara seems in contrast to reject that and say that's not really a good mokka, because Balsa Bechola is Chiddush. So the only two psukim that seem to really be carrying the day is the mokka from Nazir, from Nishros. I had a Balsa Bechola told that Nazir, so some kind of a Yafusa from Nazir. All the other mokka is from Klei Nijan. So comes to Rimei Olin and says, it's a chapsa nafkamina, big nafkamina, whether the mokka is from Nishros or whether the mokka is from Klimijan. What's a nafkamina? Nafkamina is it an assay or is it a lav? So if you learn off of Nishros, so there's a lav. Mishros and Abim lo yishta, so that's the Lashon lav. So let's say a Nazir would go ahead and eat crates, he's chayim malchus. A Nazir would drink wine, he's chayim malchus. A Nazir would drink, would eat potato soup that has a tam of yain in it, he'd be chayim malchus. So if I, or not a Nazir, eat potato soup which has a tam of chazir in it, I'm also chayim malchus. So says the Rimei Olin, the Mokor is from Nazir, so then it's a lav. So lav carries with it a chayim malchus. But says the Rimei Olin, what if the Mokor is from Kasher and Caleb? So what does the Torah say by Kasher and Caleb? Does the Torah say, Vaydav HaShem HaMoshe Lemar, anyone who eats potatoes that were cooked in a pot that chaz was cooked in an hour ago, is chayim malchus? Does it say, Lo Sochu B'Kedei V'Shabish L'Bow, well, Chazir, let me say that. What does the Torah say? The Torah says in a positive way, everyone should make sure to kasher the kelim. So it's understood, kasher and kelim is not just the mitzvah of say, because the smach counts. Kasher and kelim is the mitzvah of say. According to the smach, maybe make a bracha when you kasher kelim. We don't pass like that. So we hold that kasher and kelim is an assay, but it's not so much a kiyum assay. Like, let's say you want to throw out the pie. You want to buy the kasher kelim. So the kashers we hold, there's nothing wrong with that. You want to throw the garbage. But there's an iser of say here. That means if a person eats food in a pot that wasn't kashered, that's like a violation of tavil v'esh v'taher. That's like a bitter, like an iser of say of a kasher and kelim. So comes the Rimei Olin says that if the whole din of Tam Kikur is being learned down from the parsha of Klamidian, it's not going to be any Muhammad and Klamidian. So just as Klamidian, the gather thing is, it's an iser of say, so too all of Tam Kikur is an iser of say as well. What would that mean practically? So says the Rimei Olin, let's say if a person goes out and eats the potatoes with the taste of chazir, so what are the ramifications of that? So says the Rimei Olin, you know, chayim malchus, there is if you hold like that mandiyama that you learn out, the issur of eating potato soup that has a taste of chazir is learned out from Mishras, then you chayim malchus for that. If the mokwa is not from Mishras, if the mokwa is from Klamidion, so then you're not going to be chayim malchus for that. So the Rimei Olin says, that's exactly what Rabbi Yechon is machriya. That whereas when you look at the other Gemaras, you can't tell what the real Mokhar is. So the Rimei Olin says Rabbi Yochanan is a good enough source for us. So Rabbi Yochanan said that the Mokhar is from Klei Midyan. Just as Klei Midyan is only an Asay, Nisr Asay, so too, the whole bit of Tom Kikr is only Nisr Asay as well. So says the Rimei Olin, that's where you can have your cake and eat it. When the Gemara says that post the time for Moshe, there's also the Enochra love, that means it is an Nisr Derai. So we're going to have off with this tactical hitch. So then the Tam had problems with this Rimei Olin based on a shas type of a topic. And then the Tam raises a question, says, very often you have it, the Torah gives us an Isser, and then you have a situation where the Isser itself really doesn't apply, that it doesn't meet the criteria of the original Isser, but Alpha B'chein, the Torah says, you're not allowed to do it. But the second Isser, the second lower level Isser, the Torah doesn't say the Torah's law, but uses some power of a lashon, some Isser Asay or something. There's a question that the Gemara raises in other places, whether we say Ahadir Isser Kama or not. Do we say that the second Isser is a brand new Isser? Say, Imam Shinissa Chodosh is the original Isser, the original Lav, you only violate in case X, Y, and Z. And now the Torah says A, B, and C, which is not the original Isser, is also Isser. So you view that as an independent Isser, and it's not Ahadir Isser Kama. And you don't relate this back to the original Isser. So my Nafkamina, you don't relate it back. So the original Isser, the X, Y, and Z, that was an Isser with Malchus, that was allowed. Because the second Isser is only perhaps only an Isser, I say. Or do we say, no, that a hadra be a sakama, that whenever you have these types of isum that the Torah sets up, that there's the original list of the chol tokfo, then you have a second situation which really should not be also, but alpha pichay, the Torah says, don't do it. But the lasher the Torah uses in the lower level list is only the Torah sasei. So hadra be a sakama means the Torah's mechadish does it, that is considered to be part of the original issa. It's like Moshe Mal Davidom, like Reb Chaim has, the halacha Moshe Messina is, Reb Chaim has in Hukum Machol Sassur, there are two kinds of halacha Moshe Messina. Some of them are halacha Moshe Messina Bechad Beshah. So the Torah is giving us not something brand new. He says, this is the Raisa on the books, in the Chumash, and then there's halacha Moshe Messina. And the two have nothing to do with each other. And sometimes you have halacha Moshe Messina Mifareshah, that the halacha Moshe Messina is just redefining and saying that, well, this act is also part of the original Issa. Like the Chaim was talking about oil and chutzpah. The Torah says, don't eat oil and earth throw. Kisubal ha'aretz, don't eat oil for 3 years. So if you just read the Pesukim in Chumash, so then you think it only applies there. So it doesn't apply in chutzpah. Comes Allah from Moshe Mesina at the end of the first part of Kedushin, it says, oil and chutzpah is also. So Chaim quotes, it seems to be Machlokes and Rishonim, whether that Allah from Moshe Mesina is a brand new thing. There's no shaykhus for the original Issa of Allah. But you say no, that is sort of oil that the Torah is telling us the chutzpah, it's like a hadra de sakama. That's a lachal moshe sinai mifaresh, it's really just part of the original isser of oil. By neftimi, neftimi is with Yichai Malchus, because the Torah says in the Chayrus that you don't get an onesh on a lachal moshe sinai. So if you hold that's like a hadra de sakama, so then you would get an onesh for it, whereas if you hold that it's not a hadra de sakama, that it's a new lacha, then you wouldn't get an onesh. Lachalik is a rishayna. So the same idea that Reb Chaim develops by Halacha Moshe Messina, as you find by even within the Torah of Ksav itself, when you have an original listener which is allowed, then you have a lower level listener as an assay, so do we say that the assay of the Hadra is a common enough? So the original sugya about this appears in the whole place of the Sechma. Well, so that's the Chayrus, of course, right? Okay, Chayrus. That the Gemara says like this, the Pesuk says, Los Savoy B'Kosh HaRechav Los Sagoz B'Kosh HaNecha. You have a firstborn animal, so you're not allowed to work it, you're not allowed to shear its wool. So once it gets a womb, then it really loses its kedushas b'chor, basically, because harai, you're allowed to shechter. If it's a carbon, if it has kedushas b'chor, you shechter, chutz to make the shechayat kares. But once it gets a womb, so it doesn't really have kedusha anymore, so then it's mutter to shechter. In Medina, you're allowed to shechter, chutz to make the shechayat. The Torah says, Tizbach Nechal Tabasa. The Torah says that even though it has a moment, even though it's not a real Kiddush anymore, but Tizbach Nechal Tabasa, you're only allowed to shechten, you're only allowed to eat it. What does that mean, Tizbach Nechal Tabasa? So it was a drasha, Tizbach below Giza. You're not allowed to share it anymore. Tizbach Nechal below the Padecha. You're not allowed to feed it to your dog. It's not Basar below Cholam. It gives a whole series of different drashas, which are limitations to what you're allowed to do with this b'chor, even though it doesn't really have kedusha anymore. That's what's called in halacha, the category of psulei hamukdashim. That means it was a carbon, it was a kosher carbon at one time, it got a mum. If it's a b'chor, then it doesn't need pidyon. When a b'chor gets a mum, so it loses its kedusha right away, whereas the other kosher which get a mum, so you have to replay that after it gets the mum. It's a technical detail, but if you're told to shy kosher mum by a b'chor, you don't have to replay that, so it's called psulei hamukdashim. So Alpha Bichain, the Torah says, Tizbach lo Giza, you're not allowed to share its wool. So the Gemara's a shah at the beginning of the second barak of Yud Bichailas, what's the difference if a person goes out and shares the wool? Go ahead and you cut off the wool, cut off the hair of the Bichor, Psuli HaMakdashim, like Yichayev Malchus and Ha'am. So on the one hand, the Torah says, Lo Sagar is Bichor Sagar, because if he goes, there's a real Bichor, which doesn't have a mum, of course Yichayev Malchus. So one could argue that if you've never met the mum, that's if it still has Kedusha, but once it has a mum, so it's ois b'chor, it's not called b'chor, it's not have anymore, so then if you go, you're not chayav malchus, you're only over the Yisra of Giza, of Tizbach below Sagos, which is only in Yisra say. Well, if you say no, if you say Habil Yisra Kam, if you say that even though this is not a real b'chor anymore, it's not the original Yisra, but since it's not to the original Yisra, it sounds a little bit like it's related to the original Yisra, so we have a right to say Habil Yisra Kam. So the Gemara says in the Chayrus, in the beginning of Shana Berkha, we do see a Habil Yisra Kam. The person is Gezeh, So then the Tam says, you see from that Gemara that a Habil Yisra Kam. So what's your Gami over here? That the original Yisra is don't be Chazer, no social Chazer. Then the Torah gives you a chiddush in Klei Nidya that even though there's real no chazer here, so the original listener will say, well, chazer doesn't apply, but there's tam chazer. The Torah says, Tavir Ba'esh V'tayah, you have to kash with the Kalim, because in Isra Aseh, you don't kash with the Kalim. So the Torah says, that Isra Aseh should not be understood as a brand new Isra, that should be understood as a Hadir Lisa Kama. So it's a Hadir Lisa Kama, it should be Chaim Malkos for it. So the whole Yisrael is up the creek, the whole Yisrael of the Yisrael is not correct. So the answer is that the Tan Sri is not absolutely convincing, because it could be the HVH, it could be that we don't always say so hadu l'sura kava. Just because you're saying in one case doesn't necessarily mean it's always a cloud. Maybe Chazal had to size up each case and see whether it's appropriate to say hadu l'sura kava or not. Can we show them have a discussion by, anyone know the other case of hadu l'sura kava? There's another case. Beit, right, Beit Sibay, right. The Gemara has by Zephysis, you know, it talks about, let's say if a person does malach on Yom Tov, say Chayav Malchus. The Torah says that Shechit is mutar on Yom Tov. Because Achi Shei Akol Lecho Nefes, Shechit is from the malachas on Mutaros. So the Gemara raised the shah, what's the name of a person shechts a carbon on Yom Tov? Shalom Kedin. If you hold that, the Dham and Dham is in and craving the Yom Tov, because Lachem Belo Lagavoa. So that is of Lachem Belo Lagavoa. So do we say that that's a new issue? It's basically Shechit is mutar on Yom Tov. It's not included in Kobo Lachas Avedo Sasu. So if you shecht a carbon on Yom Tov, Shalom Kedin, so then you're not Chayav Malchus. You just violated the Yisra, say, of Lachem Belo Lagavoa, but you say no, that a Hadar Lisura Kama, that once the Torah says you're not allowed to shecht the Korbanos, so that shows us that's part of the original list of Kamlach Zabed Losasu. So just as you're like it on the Lach Zabed Losasu, you'll be Chayim Malchus to this as well. So Taisus has a whole discussion about whether you say Hadar Lisura Kama. Anybody know who comes at this? In the Prima God, it is safe for what? The first piece in Shoshanas Amakim, if I'm not mistaken. Besides his Vedic commentary on Shulchanov, so he wrote a few other Svarim. One is Gilas Varad, one is Shoshanas Amakim. So if I'm not mistaken, I think it's his first piece in Shoshanas Amakim. He has a Shaila about what's the din if somebody's, I don't know if it's really happened or not, I couldn't get the picture down straight. Somebody cooked for, was cooking for Goyim on Yom Tov. And then they were Eidah Chasna or something. So whether they were possibly Eidahs. What's the Shaila? So the cook for Goyim, so the Gemara goes out from the same Pasuk, Lachem Belo Liachem. So the cook for Goyim really should have been Mutter. Achim Shei Achim Chom Efesh. It's also, should have also been called Mutter. But all of a sudden, there's a new Xeris HaKosov that you're not allowed to do it. So the question is, the person is Mavasha for Goyim, are you Chayav Malchus and Yom Tov or not? So do you say, Ahadu Nisur Kamba? So if you only Ahadu Nisur Kamba, then the guy's Chayav Malchus. If you don't say Ahadu Nisur Kamba, then you just violated our say. Why is that important for Kiddushin? Because the Rambam says that anytime you do an Aveir that's Chayav Malchus, so you're called a Rasha, so a Rasha's possible Yedus. If you violate a Nisra Seh in the Torah, you're not, maybe we're not going to eat a Shlishin, but you're not called a Rasha in Alocha, so you're not possible Yedus. So that was the Shaila. What's that in the Gaz, the Vashel, for Goyim and Yom Tov, is it Kosher the Yedus Kiddushin or not? So who would have thought? That's the Machlokes we're going to have in the Ring. Then the Rimi Olim. That's the Shaila of when you say Hadri Yisrael Kamel, when you don't say Hadri Yisrael Kamel. So the Tom says, to say you always have your Yisrael Kama, and the real mention to say you have to look at each case by case. So this is the whole razzle-dazzle plan of the real limbs in our sugya in our Bedezara. When the Gemara says that Kol Shetayim of Leva Moshe ain't no good love, so that means that this is their rising. Yeah, but it's there's no chayim, no chayim office. So the Raivid has a called Pshat 4, has a similar pshat to the real limbs, with a little bit of a slightly different nuance. The Raivit says that the psukim don't really matter. It doesn't really matter what the makor for Kam Kikur is. Even if the makor is from Nazir, still the din is that one is not going to be Chayav Malchus. Why is that? So the Raivit says that what's the makor from Nazir? So the Gemara says that we learn out of Mematzino and Kabachayim is Mematzino from Nazir. That Nadach Nazir, there's din of Tam Kikur, so for sure there's din of Tam Kikur. The other Yisurim also, and the Gemara is all complicated sugyas in Tzachim to try to figure out, is that a good Mimud, not a good Mimud. So even the Nihah, it's a good Mimud, so the Raivit says, but at the end of the day, it's only the Teres Kalvachayim, the Teres Mematzinu. So we have a rule, but they don't shim in Adin, and you're not allowed to give a person an Onesh, you do an Onesh Misa, an Onesh Malkos, the Raivit is assuming, based on the different Nidosh, that are in the Dreshes Behem, based on Kalvachayim, and he's assuming that applies to Mematzinu is also. There's a Machlokes in the Rishon, whether that's really true, whether that Klav, they don't shim in Adin, is only limited to Kalvachayim, whether it applies to Mematzinu. So the Raivin is Isimashim. So Isimashim is in the back of the Tezadayas. So the Raivin learns that the Pshan of the Gemara of Adazar. No matter what the Mokka for a time keeper is, it's their Isa, but you're not going to be Chayim Malchus. It's not from human medium for sure it's not Malchus. And even if it's from those, it's not going to be Malchus either. So at the end of the day, you have Israel Pshat 3a and 3b. The Mingo Lins and the Raivin is a similar nuance in saying that time keeper is their Isa, but after Bichayim there's not going to be any Chayim Malchus. So the common denominator between all four of these pshat of the Rashi, who said the Tanakh is on the Rabbanon, and the Talmud says that it's Derais Hanyuachai Malchus, The Rebbe Linda says it's deraisa, but according to some Yerachai Malchus, the Rebbe said it's deraisa, but Yerushon Yerachai Malchus, the common denominator between all of these four opinions in the Rishonim is that they're all at least defining Tam Ki'iku in the same way. Namely, they're all talking about the same thing, that you have a pot of potatoes in cooking, a little bit of chaza falls in, and you're able to discern the chaza. What do you mean you have to taste the chaza? So we learned today with Yoshia that either a guy tells you that he really tastes it, so that's Tam Ki'iku, or if you don't have a guy and you don't have shishim, so only if you have shishim can we say for certain that you don't have tam there. So the, let's say Kuzman is a post-Ramah, the film test either going anymore. So there's no shishim, which is a nice thing to know. But a little bit of chazir fell in, and there's only 30 times potatoes which can negate the chazir. So we have to assume that there's tam chazir here. So that is the case of tam kikur. That is the statement of Rabbi Yehudim. And whatever you hold, if it's the rice at the rabbanon, yes, malchus, no malchus, everyone at least is on the same page, or at least they're talking about the same topic. So comes the Rosh and quotes the name of one of the Rishonim, the name of Reb Chaim Kohen, not to be confused with Reb Chaim, and quotes the name of Reb Chaim, Rabbeinu Chaim, that the terms Tam Ki'iku sometimes mean different things. Not all Tam Ki'iku are created equal. And says Rabbeinu Chaim, I guess he predated his successor, there are two different Tam Ki'iku, sometimes Tam Ki'iku is deraisa, and you want Chayav Malchus, and sometimes Tam Ki'iku, there's no Chayav Malchus. What does it mean? Where do we have to find two different shiurim in terms of Tam Ki'iku? You know what the shiur is? The shiur is either the great taste or it doesn't taste it. The shiur is either yes shishim or no shishim. So says Rabbeinu Chaim, no. You can have different shiurim within a tam. In theory, you can have a tam there, but that's not the real makoy of tam kikur. What's the real makoy of tam kikur? When you have a ratio of significant amount of isavir, it is a very heavy duty taste. It's not just enough that we could say, yeah, there's not a tam there, so we have a problem. No, you have much more than that. You have a ratio of so high, such a high concentration of isavir, that it's even more of a problem. What in the world is here that this number comes from? What ratio do we know of? So we can't make up shiurim. So the only shiur that we know, there is a halacha moshe mitzina shiur called the kezayis b'chtech in his cross. It's a ratio of food to a time. It's a volume ratio to a time. But that original halacha moshe mitzina kezayis b'chtech in his cross was not said to Tarobis. That was said in terms of just plain to the machos asuros. That's the shiur halacha moshe mitzina that Yechayev Malchus for eating any makalos asuros, so then you are that for Shia Lach Moshe Mesidai for fulfilling the mitzvah of Seder as Merav Achilas Matzah, that the Shia Achil and Kol Tarakula is Kizayis Bechdei Achilas Pras, that I eat the piece of chaz, it's so slow that by the time the Kizayis Achilas Pras comes about, so I didn't eat the Kizayis, so then that's not considered to be a Ma'is Achila, so therefore I'm not going to be Chayev Malchus. So that is a pre-existing Halach Moshe Mesidai. Where does that shiur come from? Where was that original halacha moshe mitzvah? It wasn't even said by Machalos Asuros, it was said by... Oh, wait, no? The original shiur wasn't said by Matzah, you know. It was said by Bayis HaMenuga. That was the original halacha moshe mitzvah that the Gemara says at the beginning of Masechet Sukkah, the beginning of Masechet Erevin, that Eretz Chita, the Gemara says the pasuk by the Shiva Zaminim, Eretz Chita, Sora, the Gethel, the Gethel, we thought that pasuk means, you know, how beautiful Eretz Yisrael is, and the message, yeah, that's also true, but that's a very lumbish pasuk also, a very lumbish tourist comes to Eretz Yisrael, and he looks at the wheat and says, Eretz Chita, oh, that's the din, the Halacha Moshe Mesinai of Kizayis Tachtech and Espras, that if you stay in the Bayis of Menuga, the amount of time that it takes to eat a Kizayis Tachtech and Espras, so then you've begun to become Tamei Tumas Bayis of Menuga or something. That's the din of Eretz Chika. That the shear of Kizayis Tachtech and Espras is the amount of time it takes to eat a Kizayis Tachtech and Espras of Pas Lifton, of the Pas Chika. Pas that was made from out of wheat. That's the shear of chita. So the verse says that's the shear achila. And call it arkula, the shear of nechilas pas. And either kazayas, chaz, and nechilas pras. So just as the bais of the yuga, so the nechilas pras, that's like the shear achila. So too in hilchas, the chos of sugars, that's the shear achila. And it comes to achilas mouth. Also, that's the shear achila. It comes to bracha chvor. It's also the shear achila. So all the dinim of nechilas pras that we're familiar with all have their roots in bais of the yuga. So the Gemara says in Sanhedrin that the Bais HaNuga never happened, never will happen. So why was it written? Could they throw the Kabbalah's car? So the question is, what do you mean? It sounds like the Gemara says that there's nothing relevant to Bais HaNuga, Allah Chavaisa. So that's not really what the Gemara says. The Gemara just says that the case of Eis Aruv itself is not relevant, but the dinner that appeared, and the Torah, for some strange reason, decided to give us some of the ABCs of Halacha in Eis Aruv. So what's the other famous din, Eis Aruv? The whole Malka for what? The Chazapa Neikara. The Gemara says, they give him a second school. How do you know there's a din of Chazapa that you follow Chazapa? So when the Kohen goes into the Eis Aruv, he sees it as a shear. So he sees it as a shear of a gris, that's the shear of Fatuma, not only the shear of Kesamim, the shear. So not only the Rabbanim today carry long pennies, but the Kohanim of old also walk around with pennies. So he comes into the bias and he sees there's a shear of Tuma there. So he doesn't declare that it's coming when he's in the bias, because that'll be silly, because then everything will be coming right away. So he tells him to clear everything out, and then he walks outside and he declares that it's coming. So the Gemara says, how did he know that it's coming? Maybe the shear went down, maybe it shrunk in the last 5 minutes, and it goes from here you see that you follow Chazaka Meikara. So of all places in Halacha, the Gemara, the Kadosh Baruch Hu decided to shtuk the din of Chazaka Meikara to Bayis and Menuga, and of all places the Kadosh Baruch Hu decided to shtuk the din of Dechel Uspras and the Bayis and Menuga. Why did he do this? I don't know. Kash and Bibar Shalom. But Levaisa, when the Gemara says Bayis and Menuga is not relevant, that just means the case itself is not relevant, but the din of Chazaka Meikara, which is very relevant in practice, it's been about Ayam Azeh. Let's get back to the story. So there is the din of Kazayis Dichlos Pras on the books. So that original din was said in the realm of Achilos. How do you think Tarelvis? I mean, the Achilos at the end, Kazayis Dichlos Pras, Kazayis Amata, Kazayis Dichlos Pras, Kazayis So Kemi Ben Chaim, an ugly Mechidish, and said that just as there's a significance in Allah of Kazayis Dichlos Pras in terms of an Achilos at the end, so too there's a significance of the Shia Kazayis Dichlos Pras in a Tarevis as well. So that becomes a new ratio. The original din was not a ratio in terms of what the Tarevis, but now that Shia, Kedayach, Zecheles Pras, has become a new ratio in terms of what the Tarevis. So this is a Beit HaChayim. Now we have to go back to that part of the Chaz, the drops of Chaz that fell to the pot of potato soup. So how much was the ratio of the Chaz to the potato soup? So if the ratio is just, say, 1 to 30 or something, so even if you would eat Kedayach, Pras, you would eat 4 dates or more of this potato soup, you would not chop a ride a kezayis of chazer, so that's called tam. That's called the razor benayin tam, but that's called the lower level of esur of tam. That's called ein of kezayis nefechilus pas. Now, shainke, but you have, let's say you have a lot of chazer fell in there. It's not raw chazer. It's still obviously raw potato soup, but there's so much chazer fell in that in since alone you would try to sit down and eat the kezayis pas of potato soup. You would, in the process of eating a kezayis of chazer, that's called a higher level, much more severe problem of tam kefir. Says of Ben Chaim, that's a different category in halacha. Two different. There's plain and simple hareza b'nei tam. That means there's no shishim, so hareza b'nei tam. Then you have the higher concentration of hareza b'nei tam when you have a kezayis b'chnei chelus pras. My nafkamina between the two. Says of Ben Chaim, a very big nafkamina. That in the higher level of concentration, when you have a kezayis b'chnei chelus pras, so Sam, it's getting a little warm, you know. Combination of a tightness and not exactly the warmest tightness. No. So comes the Ben Chaim and says, when you have a kezayis b'chteich it was pras. So the halacha declares that such a high level concentration of mesinas tam. So says the Ben Chaim, that high level declares that the entire pot of potato soup is a cheftish alisa. It's a So it's a quote of the misquote of Rabbi Yonatan Agrish, it's hefty nefach lios isser. It means now we must view the entire pot as a shtick isser. Why is that? It says in Ben Chaim, when you see that the Torah takes such significance, this din of Kedayis b'chteich lios pras, it's such a sheer choshev, that is the ability to mechapech the entire potato soup, it's being a cheftish on isser. And now what would be the din of a person eat some of that potato soup? So I would have thought, if you eat the whole potato soup, then maybe you chayav malchus. Says the Rebbe Chaim, no, even if you eat a kezayis of the potato soup, you're going to be chayav malchus as well. So Rebbe Chaim said that, in effect, the phrase that we spoke about earlier, that hefen nepach lios isser. But hefen nepach lios isser, according to Rebbe Chaim, only applies to chiyah gavra that you had a kezayis before he was pressed. What if you don't have a kezayis before he was pressed? That's a little level of the depan to occur. Says the Ben Chaim, you would never say that hefen nepach lios isser. That would be impossible. We would never give the guy a malchus of coke on just eating a kezayis of the potato soup with a little shvach atam of chazan in it. That's absolutely impossibility. So says the Ben Chaim, that's what the Gemara means in Avodah Zarah. Kol shat taima umam mashal. Mokan alav. The first thing to think about was that yichayim alkas taima umam mashal is the code phrase for kazayis pachdechel espas. Kol shat taima umam mashal is the code phrase for less than a kazayis pachdechel espas, which are not going to be chayav malchus. It's a lower level, watered-down version of Tam Tika. Now, what's unclear in Rabbeinu Chaim is what? What the kud is unclear in Rabbeinu Chaim? That case, that lower-level list of Tam Tika, of kosher, time of loma mosho, but you're not chayav malchus. What's my career? This is the eyes of everybody. He doesn't say. Right? Can't tell whether he holds that to the eyes of Mr. Lobot. He's contrasting the two, that in the first case you're chayav malchus, and the second case you're not chayav malchus. What's unclear is whether you meant you're not chayav malchus because it's only the Rabbanim. We're meant to say you're not chayav malchus, but it's still an issur d'oraisa, some lower level issur.
It doesn't say it's time to be curious, just
that when there's the effort of passing, the time to be curious doesn't have happened. So that's the question. It's unclear. And from the Rabbanim himself, it's not absolutely clear which way he held. This sheet of Rabbeinu Chaim appears to some degree in Tosfos, does allude to this as a situation, a farshim or something, but the Rush spells it out. This idea that Rabbeinu Chaim was mechadesh, that Tam Ki'ikar, when it does, it's stunt, it does its trick, so it has the ability to be had to be able to so Rabbeinu Chaim wasn't the first one to invoke that principle. Who preceded him? Rabbeinu Tam said it also, but Rabbeinu Tam wasn't such a brisker, so he never heard of two types of Tam Ki'ikar. Rabbeinu Tam only had one kind of Tam Ki'ikar. I raise the Tam. If it takes the chaz, then Tam Kikar kicks in. So according to Rabbeinu Tam, who says that whenever Tam Kikar kicks in, that's the Nepach Liazusar, so Rabbeinu Tam also held your light up Kokazai's the Kazai Shavo. But he held that even in the case where Rabbeinu Chaim held you're not Chayav of Kokazai's the Kazai Shavo, Rabbeinu Tam says what? So Rabbeinu Tam and Rabbeinu Chaim are similar in that they both on the Chadash this idea of Het the Nepach Liazusar. The difference between Rabbeinu Tam and Rabbeinu Chaim is that Rabbeinu Tam understood every time Kikar works that way. Rabbeinu Chaim only understood the higher level proportion, higher level ratio of time Kikar works that way. Low level of time Kikar doesn't work that way. And maybe it's not even their eyes, which is still unclear. So far we got, what do we got? So we can't have four for five sheetahs. So we have Rashi, it's just time Kikar, the Chalal is Tirabonon. Rabbeinu Tam says it's always their eyes, and you're always Chaim and Kokaz eyes to the eyes. You have the Rimi Alim who says that it's deraisa, but according to one day in the Gemara, you're not chayav malchus. According to you have the Raisa who says it's deraisa, but you've never chayav malchus with anybody. So Rabbeinu Chaim says that sometimes it's deraisa and you're chayav malchus, uncle kazayas is deraisa, and sometimes you have chayav malchus, but we can't tell whether it's deraisa. Now we have who's the sixth shita? The Rambam shita. So the Rambam starts the same as Rabbeinu Chaim. Also, if the Rambam wasn't a brisker, who was? The Rambam was a kind, the two briskers. The Rambam says that there are two dinim of Tam Kikar. Sometimes Yichayim Malchusper, and sometimes Yinachayim Malchusper. What's the Shear? So the Rambam says the Shear is also. We also have the same halach as Rabbeinu Chaim, that the cutoff point in terms of the higher level, that open the din of Tam Kikar, the weak case, far as the laws of Tam Kikar is Kazayas Pachdechelos Pas. Says the Rambam, if you have a Kazayas Pachdechelos Pas, it's Deraisa, and you're Chayav Malchus, but here's where he differs with Rabbeinu Chaim. Where Rabbeinu Chaim says, the Chayav Malchus, I'll call Kazayas and Kazayas Shabo, the Rambam says no. The Rambam says that only if you eat the entire Taroidas, so then the Matthias HaDvarim is, what did you eat? Wait, Kazayas Pachdechelos Pas. So the Rambam is the one who denies outright the principle of Hetha Nepach Lios Issa. Rambam is befeirish against this whole notion of Hetha Nepach Lios Issa. So the Rambam says, even in the worst case scenario of Tam Kikar, which Rambam accepts that this being the worst case scenario of Kazayas Bechdechos Pas, Rambam Bechein, the Chiyuv Malchus, I told Kazayas Shabbat, there won't be. Chiyuv Malchus, there will be, on the whole mixture, but Chiyuv Malchus, I told Kazayas Shabbat, there will not be. So far, the Rambam is pretty similar to Rabbeinu Chaim, except that nuance in terms of, it's an important lumbish nuance, in terms of how much you have to eat Rabbeinu Chaim Malchus. Then the Rambam commits himself to what we weren't sure about with the Rabbeinu Chaim, though. The Rambam says, what if it's less than Kazayas Pachdechelos Pas? So the Rambam says, then it's the Rabbanan. Then it's only the Rishon, the whole thing is only the Rabbanan. And the Rambam, in effect, learns the Gemara of the Rishon, the same as Rabbeinu Chaim. That kol shatayim ulam mosho lokin alav, that's kazayis b'chdechelos pras. Kol shatayim ulam mosho ein lokin alav, that's kazayis shemok b'chdechelos pras. that's lokadai b'teflus. So it's just the year of Makom Shishi. But where the Rechayim weren't sure whether he held that it's that lower level tefik because they're nice at the Rabbanan, the Rambam is the Ferish of the Rabbanan. The Rambam calls that different section. So there are similarities between the Rambam and the Rechayim. They're similar in the sense that they both invoke the idea, the shear of Kizai B'teflus Das, but they are fundamentally different in terms of Rabbi Chaim saying that in a case where Kizayis B'chumas Pras exists, the Chayav B'chum Kizayis, whereas according to the Rambam, the only Chayav in the entire title of this, and they may also be different in the case where you don't have Kizayis B'chumas Pras, that according to the Rambam, it's for sure the Rabbam, and according to Rabbi Chaim, we weren't sure. So these are the six basic shitas of any fact in what's going on here. Just everyone, I mean, didn't you do the Gemara's? No, the Gemara Ganesh, right? So you saw these shitas, right? Right? Basically, everyone realized these six different shitas, six basic shitas in Dam Kikar. Rashi, the Natan, the Yolin, the Raidid, the Menachayin, and the Rambam. But what's important is you have to see the similarities and differences between them, that there are certain overlaps between the shitas. It means you have one group of Rishonim who says that Dam Kikar is the Araisa. And you have another overlap in some Rishonim say that Tam Tikra has the ability to be Hetter Nebuch Beelzebub, but they have differences in other things. And you have other Rishonim who have similarities in that it's their eyes of it, there's no Malchus. So you have a lot of different, they have other Rishonim who developed the idea of Kizas passes being important, other Rishonim deny it. So you have a four or so different variables, and you have to combine them together to get all these six different shitas. These are like, there's a term, what's it called, a diagram, Venn diagram, right? So if you really wanted to map out the sugya properly, I think this would be a good way to do it. You would have, you know, where does Rabbeinu Chaim and the Rambam overlap, and when do they not overlap? Where does Rabbeinu Tam and Rabbeinu Chaim overlap, where they not overlap? So why did I say that? Because last night, I was helping my aunt do his homework, so he's learning about Venn diagrams. So all of a sudden I thought, oh, this is a good example. So I tried to explain this to him. I put all the six sheets. He was much more excited. He was trying to draw a diagram between the difference between a fish and a whale. That mammals, not mammals, swim, don't swim, different swarms, whatever. So anyway, maybe tonight we'll work with this guy. So as you can already begin to see, this is going to play out very, very much nicer in terms of our most basic question is time to do the rice of the Rabbanan? Whether it's Chiyuv Malchus or no Chiyuv Malchus, you know, when they're based in Chiyuv Malchus, that's important. But Bizman Hazeh, the only issue that really is important for us is, well, there are really two issues that are really important. Issue number one is it the Araisa of the Rabbanan? What's the answer to that question? So is Tam Kikar the Araisa of the Rabbanan? So the answer to that question is, well, what kind of Tam Kikar do you mean? Do you mean Tam Kikar of just lack of Shishim? Do you mean Tam Kikar of Kazayas B'chilas Pras? So you can get different answers and different Rishonim to those two questions. There's another issue before we even get to that, which is the most important of my aspect of the sugya. I just wanted to just touch on for a moment. This major machlokes of Rishonim in terms of lumbus that's taking place here. We already saw this is important for the Ganash Mavela that we've been here. So the Ibishas, the Tom, the Shrine, the Rana places. This notion of halacha of Heter Netach Leos Isser, that Rabbeinu Tam was Mechadesh, that Rabbeinu Chaim accepted, at least in his case. The other Rishonim clearly didn't accept. The Rishonim clearly didn't accept it was the Rambam. I mean, the Rambam accepted Tam Kikar being the Raisa sometimes, and Af Al Pi Chein, you can't say it, they never be a sister. So this is a major machlokes, really, at the level of the Raisa. Even the Niyach, that there is a case, whatever case you have of Tam Kikar, is Tam Kikar necessarily mean that they never be a sister now? There is a Rashba in the Sefer Kulin that asks a very, very strange question. Rashba asks, how could it be that Tam Kikar is their eyes? How do you talk that Tam Kikar is their eyes? What happens to the Pasuk in Chumash, Acharam Mahapas? The Torah says you follow rites. You follow rites. You follow rites. So rove means a bit of a rove. So whenever you have a rove, everything's mutter. So when you have Tam Kikar, so bottom line, you have a rove. I have 50 times the amount of potatoes that is dropped in Chazer. So I have a rove, have to do a meal to this earth. So why don't you just say Acharam Mahapas? How can you even talk about Tam Kikar? That's the kasha that the Rashba asks. So, is that a funny kasha? No, just before you get to Terence. He's asking, how could it be that the Torah says there's a din of Mishra, there's a din of Asmuchal, there's a din of Gil and Midrash, what happened to the din of Rove? Is it kasha? I don't understand. that how can it be that the Torah says you're allowed to do malacha yodim, and then the Torah says you're not allowed to do malacha for a guy? You know, what? Strange. No, did I put the rashi in the wrong comments? Mm-hmm. Does anyone bother with the kash? It's my own personal. Very bother with the kash, right? And like, I didn't understand where the rashi is coming from to ask this kash. But I know, whatever it is, that's his kash. So the rashi says no. That the din of tantrika is not a sphere of the din of the barov. Whenever you have a tantrika, it's not shaykh to speak about rov. Why? Because rov presupposes that you have a tarovus, right? When you have a tarovus, then bittul barov kicks in. If you could uproot the tarovus b'tchila, so then bittul barov doesn't apply. So let's say you have sitting on the table, you have three pieces of meat. One of them is marked on it Rubashkins. Another one is marked on it Rubashkins. And the third is marked on it Astemeyer. So would anybody say, oh, Ram Bahato, so therefore we have three pieces of meat on the table, so I can eat all three of them. So why is that ridiculous? That's not a tarot. Tarot just means when you have some kind of a suffering, you have low nikra iser, you can't tell what's what. So if low nikra iser, then you can begin to discuss ilchus tarovus, you can begin to discuss invoking the principle of Ram Bahatos. Whenever you have nikra iser, so then the whole notion of tarot, this whole notion of bittul barov is enough to do. So I would have thought that what does Nikra Isser mean? So the rest of the say Nikra Isser means Nikra Lafira Os in Adayan, it means what I see, seeing is believing. So comes the Rashi and says, well, the nature of the din of Tam Ki Iker is telling you an unbelievable Chiddush. It's not telling you that Tam Ki Iker is the exception to the din of Bittul Barov. It's not what I would have said. Tam Ki Iker is telling me that this is Ois Tarovus. That's not called Tarovus anymore. Why? Because we all know what's really important about food. Does it really matter what the food looks like? The caterers tell you that. What really matters, bottom line, food tastes. So it goes to Pesach Eel, you know? He said that food is the part. Tom is not just an external piece. I mean, basically this food, it has X, Y, and Z characteristics, and the Oikei Shalom, it tastes like such. Now, Tom defines the very essence, the very character of the food. So says the Rashba, the Torah's Mechadish does in this bit of time to Iker that you can't invoke Bittul over here because it's like Nikra Isser. I would have thought Nikra Isser is only Lefira Inayim. Comes the Chiddush HaTorah of Nishras and Tehnidya and Bosbuchov. Every Mokot where Tam Ki Iker is, and the Lomkos in the Din of Tam Ki Iker is, it's a Menias HaBittul, telling you that you don't have the ability to declare Bittul Barov. You can't take it because it's like Nikra Isser. That's the longest of Tam Ki Iker. So which Rishon may subscribe to that idea? Maybe the Rambam would describe it such an idea. But the Rishonim who say that Tam Ki Iker is het benepach lios Isser, could they buy into this Rashba? I mean, the Rashba is not telling you that Tam Ki Iker is a new Isser. According to Rashba, all Tam Ki Iker is telling you is that you can't say Bittul. So Baalei Hachal is in a Bittul. So now every case of when you're eating a pot full of potato soup and it happens to taste chazer in there, so the chazer is not bachal because it's Nikra Isser. So that's the halach equivalent of the three pieces of meat on the table, the Askemar with the three Rabashkins. So go back to that case. Let's say a guy goes ahead, there are three pieces of meat on the table, and he goes in and eats the Rabashkins. So you can tell me Chai Malkus, because there's no Bittul, so the male Hetta Nebuch is this. That's ridiculous. Hetta Nebuch Lios Isser means when you have a Tarovus, so then you say that Hetta Nebuch Lios Isser, then you can suggest Hetta Nebuch Lios Isser. But the whole Gedder Hadin of Tam Ki Iker means that there's no Tarovus anymore. That's like Nikra Isser, so then the Isser is over the Shneafno, and Hetta is over the Shneafno. So of course the Rashba can't buy into Rabbeinu Chayim, he can't buy into the Rabbeinu Tam, he can't buy into this idea of Hetta Nebuch Lios Isser. So Lechora, the Rashba's beer in Tam Ki Iker, that the Tam Ki Iker is Benias HaBittul, flies in the exact contradiction to Rabbeinu Chaim's understanding, or Rabbeinu Tam's understanding, that Tam Ki Iker is much more than just Benias HaBittul, but Tam Ki Iker is Mamash HaHetna Nebuch Lios Isser. That's a conceptual machlokes, which really stems from the different shittas in terms of Tam Ki Iker. No, but that's the whole side of the Rashi saying is that you can't apply Bittul here. He says Tam Ki Iker doesn't go more than that. It's all Tam Ki Iker accomplishes that. It says that Bittul doesn't apply to the Nikra Isser. So where do you see in Hilchos Tam Ki Iker that it goes the extra mile? According to the way the Rambam and the Rebbeinu Chaim, and the Rebbeinu Tam and the Rebbeinu Chaim seem to be learning, The Tantik is Mamsha Chiddush HaTaira. It's a Chiddush HaTaira that even though there is a Taira, even though you should have said Bifl Baro, no, but this is an exception because Heb and Nebuch we also say. So it sounds, no, all right, it sounds like there are two totally different approaches to what Tom Kiker is all about. We'll have to see up there. Next year, try to figure out. One other thing I wanted to share, just one Shiloh. Guys like to hear Shilohs, come by guys. Shiloh came as follows. Somebody asked me that they had a Milchik pot cover that was used, promised to just taken off a pot of something was cooking, I don't know what it was. They took the pot cover off, and it was still piping hot, still pretty hot. And they spilled some spaghetti which was in gravy, and they meat gravy, onto the top of this pot cover. The spaghetti in the gravy was cold, the pot cover was hot. It was just taken off of a pot. So what's the bid? So this is the sagav, all right? This is a classic sagav. And the top is cold, the bottom is hot. So there's and it's hot. It's a heat of a klirisha. It's a klirisha shalog avileish. It could be it's still hot from the klirisha shalog avileish. But lemaisa, there's no question that the pot cover has to be kasher, right? So the question is, how can you kasher the pot cover? So I asked them, can they take the pot cover and just throw it into a meager thing, you really have to kasher a lot. How much of the pot cover do you have to really kasher? Really only meager thing, can they clean it, right? Okay, so that's thin. Okay. Meager thing, you really have to kasher, they clean up the pot. So, is that right? No, I'm sorry, we have to manage cash the whole thing, right. It would have been the opposite way, so then you really only would have had a cash with upside. I'm sorry, what is it? Then you would only had a cash with a cleaver, right. So now, let's just think for a minute, let's think this through. So how would you go ahead and cash at this pot cover? So you have to cash with a clearisha, right? No question, the cash with a clearisha. So the problem is, it's a big pot cover, couldn't fit it into a klirisha. So the mice, those who say that it's kasher, you're allowed to kasher through the chatzoin, right? Whether you have to kasher the whole thing or not, that's kami tosu kham kuma, but whatever. But bottom line is, even assuming you have to kasher it all, you can kasher it the chatzoin. You kasher one half now, and then 2 minutes later you kasher the second half. That's okay. So I told them to stick this pot cover first into heat up water on the fire, and then just stick it in half, and then pull it out and stick it in the other half. So I said to them, when you make sure to leave the water, the fire on when you kasher. So then afterwards I thought, no, I probably didn't have to tell them that, right? Because that's the chumash. Machlokes has ever shown them, if something got a bliya in a klirishon on gabi aleish, so can you kasher it in a klirishon shelo gabi aleish? Some rishonim maybe said, yeah, it's the same thing. Klirishon shelo gabi aleish is the same thing. But the Ran says that even the other klirishon, we were talking about this, no? That if a klirisha shloga deish, even if it's mevashel, it's mafliya, even if it's mamish, you look at klirisha, but still kabbalah total indicates that you have to kasher mamish in the same tzura. So usually when we kasher, I always tell people make sure to leave the fire on. Whereas over here, this could be the only case where you don't really have to make sure to keep the fire on, because here the bliya happened when the parshah was already, it was already shloga. As I was saying, like techle dibra is going, I don't want to bother correcting it. Let's just stop the second. Let's say it would have been the other way around. Let's say it would have been that. That the pot cover was cold, and the spaghetti was hot. So then we would have said it would have only been a kidekli, but that would have been mamish like era, right? So then you wouldn't have needed. Then what could you have done? Then you could have done. Even not only the sink, you could have poured from what? You could have poured from. Mamish right out of the tea kettle, right? Right? You could have poured out of the tea kettle. You could have poured from the tea kettle onto, it would have been much easier to kasher. You could have poured from the tea kettle onto, is there any svar not to say that? Is there any svar to say that? Because since the bleem was connected, but there's also, is there any svar not to say that? Yeah, there's no gush. You know what? Right, so the meatball, right. So Imtum Saloma that it would have been a double gush, so according to the Marshal, so the double gush that falls on, that's like a bliya mamish. That's like a klirishon mamish, whereas if you're going to pour water out of the peak cattle, that's only going to be an earwig. But the Lamaise, that wasn't the case. The way this case was, so they needed it was a bleed of the kulo, so the Chayim needed a half of the kulo, right? So it's asking correctly? Yeah. Sounds good.
I was arriving different than I thought.
No, but he says he never came up.